Grace and peace to you from the mystery in whom we live and move and have our being. In Luke's gospel, there is a theme of reversal of fortune, of the kingdom of God as an upside-down place where the last shall be first and the first shall be last. We hear the theme in Mary's song of praise when she says, God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. We hear it again when Jesus gives his first sermon, saying that he has come to bring good news to the poor and to set the captives free. So it is not such a surprise when Jesus says to the crowds around him, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you when people hate you for my sake. Nor is it really a surprise when he goes on to say, but woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when all speak good of you. But these last may be a little more uncomfortable for us who recognize that we are often the ones who live well and have enough to eat and are spoken well of. What do these words mean for us? The word blessed is one of those churchy words that's been picked up by the culture and used until it has almost no meaning left. In a commentary that he wrote about this passage, New Testament scholar and professor Matt Skinner examines this word, which in Greek is makarios. Happy is another common translation of makarios, he writes, but that word has grown too small in contemporary usage, I fear. He urges us to think of makarios as unburdened or satisfied. And he goes on to say, Jesus also addresses people who are the opposite of the first groups, the wealthy, the satiated, the laughing, and the acclaimed. To all of these, he cries out, woe. In this context, woe functions as a sharp contrast to blessed. And yet the Greek word, which is ouai, does not mean cursed or unhappy. Certainly, it doesn't mean damned. Like the English word yikes, it is more of an attention getter and an emotion setter, an exclamation that starts a sentence. I kind of like that, yikes, to those who are wealthy and rich now. So how does this sound? Unburdened are those who are poor now, for yours is the kingdom of God. You who are hungry now, be satisfied, for you will be filled. You who weep now, unburden yourselves, for you will laugh. But yikes, you who are rich, you have received your consolation. Watch out, you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Pay attention, you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. To me, that feels a little more grounded in real life, in life lived in the presence of God that is filled with both struggles and joys. I'm always wary of the way that Luke presents things in opposites. He puts people in one category or another, this or that, but I always see that huge space that dwells in between. It is important for us to remember that Luke is talking about a real-world justice for the poor and marginalized. In Matthew's gospel, this all gets spiritualized. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But Luke is talking about real poverty and real hunger and real-world change. Jesus is clear about the role that all of us who have more are expected to take in sharing and working for that real world justice. that all of our lives are lived in the both and of blessing and woe. We can all be unburdened when we turn toward God in trust and hope. And we all need to hear, yikes, watch out, when we start to focus our lives or put our trust in the wrong things, like wealth and status and reputation. As we remember the saints who have gone before us, we remember their faith and faithfulness, and we remember God's faithfulness to them when times were hard. We remember that they were not perfect, that indeed their lives were filled with good choices and bad ones, with blessing and woe. And that is exactly why they can be models for us who live in such gray places too. Are any of you familiar with hashtag blessed? Did it come up here? No. Because I have to be firm with this little word. Hashtag blessed, I read this week, is an internet sensation for anyone to proclaim the great things they have going on for them for the entire world to see. Hashtag blessed. Sometimes it's kind of a humble brag, a proclamation of great things about me, and it really means, look what I've done, look what I have. Look at me, I'm so blessed. Yikes, perhaps we've missed the point somewhere. But hashtag blessed can also be an expression of gratitude, a way we remind ourselves of all the blessings we have from God. Look at this gift God has given, this sunrise, this imperfect and beloved family, this community of faith. We can choose to pay attention to what God has done and is doing in our lives. And then we can take the next step to say, I'm struggling and God is with me. I'm grieving and my faith comforts me. I'm sick or hurting and my community prays for me and loves me. So I can be unburdened and live with hope. Hashtag blessed. All is not picture perfect here, and yet I trust God. In recent months, I have been reading from this book called Good Enough, 40-ish Devotionals for the Life of Imperfection. It's by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie, who are both Bible scholars and write and teach. And I want to share their reflections on the Beatitudes and hashtag blessed. We don't live in a culture of blessing. We live in a culture of hashtag blessed. Fantastic gourmet meal, hashtag blessed. Christmas card professional photo shoot where everyone is looking directly at the camera in matching chambray shirts, hashtag blessed. As Christians, we cross-stitch our blessings on pillows, hand-letter them in whimsical fonts, and tattoo them on our bodies, forgetting, perhaps, that Jesus turned the idea of what makes us blessed upside down. His blessing should leave some people wide-eyed and others with tears of relief streaming down our cheeks. Jesus said, you are blessed when you are at the end of your rope, when you are exhausted or despairing, when tears are your food morning and night, when your stomach grumbles and your mouth is dry. Blessed are you who forgives the person who never said sorry and who definitely didn't deserve your forgiveness. You who are ridiculed and humiliated, left out and left behind. The timid and soft-spoken, the one who works toward peace instead of the easy road of vengeance. So much of how we interpret blessings depends on where we are sitting when we hear them. Maybe we are like the respected and applauded religious leaders in Jesus' time. We've elbowed our way to the front row. Or perhaps we were ushered in by privilege and birthright. We say and do the right things. Our righteousness is on full display on Facebook. Our chest pops with pride at how well life has worked out. Our beautiful family, our comfortable bank account, our healthy body. These Beatitudes should make us uncomfortable because God is celebrating who we try so hard not to be: dependent, needy, desperate. These blessings will sound quite different if you are the one at the back of the crowd, the one who barely feels like you belong in the first place, the one who's scared that someone's going to find out that you do not have it all together. In these blessings, it's like Jesus is pulling examples from the very people he's talking to. Blessed are you, James, even when you mourn the person you lost. Blessed are you, Sarah, though you are struggling to find hope. Blessed are you, John, when there isn't enough to feed your family. Jesus was looking into the eyes of those who felt like the misfits. And then he used the everyday experiences of weeping, hungering, thirsting, suffering as a badge of belonging. The left out will be welcomed with a warm embrace. The forgotten will not just be remembered, but honored. The ones who don't have it all together are exactly who God is inviting into the kingdom. Good news here. In fact, the whole kingdom belongs to the ones on the edges. This is the upside-down kingdom, directly available to those of us who don't have it all together. Sometimes the only thing that's possible is to bless life's every present moment, even and especially the hard ones. Blessings in those moments fall like a summer rain over the driest times and places in our lives. And though a blessing seems counterintuitive in moments of grief and sorrow, that's when you need to be reminded of God's presence the most, the God whose kingdom is available to all of us. The world looks a bit strange from here, upside down, but maybe that's how it's supposed to be, our feet rooted in heaven. Each one of these devotions ends with a blessing, and so I'm going to close with this one. Blessed are we when we lose sleep over what troubles us, when our worries keep us watching the clock tick by, when we have no energy to do anything but fret. The kingdom of God is here and now. Blessed are we when we are drowning in grief, when wave after wave crash over us, when we start to feel okay and then something reminds us of what we've lost and we're pulled under once again. God promises to comfort us. Blessed are we are starving for justice, when the world around us feels so unfair that we could scream, but no one seems to be listening. No one seems to care. May justice flow like a river. Blessed are we when we strip away all the extra, when we see the world as it really is, broken, tender, fragile, and beautiful. Those are the same eyes that see God in everything, too. Blessed are we when we face hardships of all sorts, insults, hurt feelings, lies, vindictive neighbors. Why is loving your actual neighbor so hard, God? Blessed are we when we work to usher in God's kingdom of love and compassion and justice and forgiveness and peace, even when it's hard. Blessed are we, the imperfect and don't have it all together, God's beloved saints. Amen.